Sarah is. Right, I got right. Sarah, it's Sarah. Okay, I can never tell those two apart, Hannah or Sarah. Sarah is going to take out Junior Church. So all the kids, if you want interested in Junior Church, you can head out here, meet her at the back there, and she'll take you down to the Junior Church room. I appreciate her filling in for Mrs. Van Hall. Pray for the Van Halls that the weather will get cold in Florida one day for them. Okay, I always got to do that to them, praise the Lord. They always leave when it's cold up here and it's warm down there for them. But I heard Lydia did very well in her play, and her last performance, I believe, was yesterday. She had like six of them this week. And so they went down to see her, and a number of them went down there. So praise the Lord. For those of you who are here, we're Mother's Day. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. I'm going to give you an Old Testament story of a truth that I found out. And again, this isn't to preach at mothers, but it's because of the way mothers are that this truth became real to me. And it's a message for all of us. So I'll end up in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. That's where the Bible principle is that I'm going to give to you. But I'm going to tell you a story, and the story you'd find in 1 Kings chapter 17. And let me run through this story. And again, you'll see why it reminds me of mothers. And I'm so appreciative of my mother, and I'm so appreciative of my wife and the way Dr. Scott was exactly right in Sunday school. The law of the mother. The mother really is so responsible for the children. And my wife, and so I'm very appreciative for her as a mother, and my mom, as she did so much for us. And again, you can see the beautiful flower display for Mother's Day. It's just absolutely beautiful. And there's a mother down there. And I was supposed to bring in my grandmother's picture, and I forgot all about it, left it there. But the mothers. Well, this story reminded me of mothers. And let me give you the background to 1 Kings chapter 17. Real quickly, as we go through this, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he went to Ahab and Jezebel. And he pronounced a famine on the land because of the wickedness of them in Israel. You know the story. Jezebel brought in Ahab she married Ahab, and she brought in Baal, and the worship of Baal just went on the rise. The wickedness was just awful. Matter of fact, between the reign of Ahab and Jezebel, they were the second worst king of all the kings of Israel. He was rated the second worst. There was only one worse than him. It was wickedness that had gone rampant in the land. And so Elijah was sent by God to go to him and tell him there was going to be a famine in the land. And we know this famine lasted because it was in the third year that he went to Mount Carmel. And if you remember, he battled the prophets of Baal, and they were killed. And then the cloud gathered and rains came. But for well over 3 years, there was famine in the land. So he goes and announced to Ahab and Jezebel that because of their wickedness, they've led Israel down a wrong path, there was going to be a famine in the land. And then the Bible says that God told him to go and hide at the brook Cherith, because he knew that maybe Ahab and Jezebel didn't believe him at first, but it didn't take long to know a famine was coming. When you go a couple months without any rain, you know that what was going to happen is going to happen. So he told him to go to the brook Cherith. He'd prepared a place for him, and he said, there it'll provide you with water. But he just didn't provide him with water. And this is amazing to me, because if you read the story in 1 Kings 7, he had the ravens bring in bread and meat to him in the morning and at night. I sat up here trying to figure out how a raven could bring in meat. They're not like the eagle that come down and swoop down and will grab a rabbit in their claws and do. I don't know how it happened, but every morning while he was at the brook Cherith, a ravens would fly in and bring him bread and meat. And at night they would do the same thing. They would bring in bread and meat. But after about, the commentaries say, about a year time, guess what happened to the brook Cherith? It dried up. And so it was time for God to move him on. And so that's where we pick up in 1 Kings chapter 17. And you can follow along, or you can just listen to this, but it's the word of the Lord came unto him. Arise, Elijah, and go to Zarephath, which belongeth unto Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman there to sustain thee. He said, I'm gonna move you on. There's no more water at the brook Cherith. It's dried up. So I'm gonna still provide for you, and I'm gonna move you on, and I'm gonna move you to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. And if you don't understand that, because the normal person, I never understood it till I wanted to find out why he included so much Zarephath that belongeth to Zidon. Because Zidon was the heart of Ahab and Jezebel and the Baal worship. This was the wicked, most wicked area. This was overrun. They didn't even, Israelites, a true Israelite would worship God, but they would worship Baal together. Now that's wrong, because the Bible says, he said in the Ten Commandments, have no other gods even beside me. So it was wrong, but at least Israel still worshiped God. But the folks of Zidon, they didn't even worship God. They didn't acknowledge a God. This was the heart of Baal worship wickedness. And it's so neat to me that God sends Elijah into the heart of Baal worship to protect him from Baal worshipers. It's amazing how God, and he said, I've commanded a woman. He didn't command this woman yet, but I'm sure he found a woman that would fit the bill of what God was looking for. This woman would be exactly what God, and she would obey the prompting of the Spirit of God. He knew the heart, and there was a woman at Zarephath, and it was a widow woman that was there. And so Elijah obeyed, he rose and went to Zarephath. And then Zarephath is a smaller city, but it's still a walled city with a gate. The gates are open early in the morning. They go closed at night. So we figured it was toward the early morning that he arrived. That's what my thinking is. And when he came to the gate of the city, there was that widow woman. She was gathering sticks. And the Spirit of God prompted Elijah that this is the woman that's going to provide for you. And so he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee. He didn't demand. He didn't say, woman, give me some water. Now remember, he asked for something that, remember why he left the brook Cherith and he's going to Zarephath? Because there was a what in the land? A famine. I'm sure at this point the water in Zidon was being, or Zarephath in that area was being taken out and you could only get so much water. I'm sure they had to watch themselves because they had to, maybe they had to dig their wells deeper. I don't know how, but this place had some water, but not a lot. And he said to this woman, would you just go and fetch me a little water in a vessel? He didn't ask for a whole glass full. He just said, would you fetch me a little water, knowing there was a famine? Fetch me a little water. And I'm amazed at her response. Now, this woman probably has never met Elijah. I don't think she knows this is Elijah. She may see something different about him. She may assume that this may be a man of God. I'm not sure. But he simply asked her and saw her there and asked her to fetch a little bit of water in a vessel. And she turned around to do it. That's what was amazing. But God knows her heart. And as she turned around and she was going to fetch it, the Bible says, Elijah called to her again and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand, because not only am I thirsty, but I'm a little bit hungry. So will you bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand? Now, she turned to Elijah, and she said, sir, as God is, she's a God-fearing lady. She said, as God is my witness, as the Lord God liveth, I have not any spare food. I have no cakes, nothing in my house. There is nothing. Matter of fact, I have a little handful of meal in my barrel, and I have a little cruse of oil that only has a little bit of oil in it. And she said, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm gathering sticks. I'm going to take these sticks home, make a fire. I'm going to take that little meal I have and make two cakes, two little pieces of bread. I'm going to bake them. And my son and I are going to eat, and this is the last meal we'll eat because we have no means any other way. And this will be my last meal for my son, and then we'll die. Now, it was desperate times. A famine had went on for a year. And if you know the story, a famine's going on for two more years. And she said, I'm sorry, I would love to help you out. She said, and Elijah turned to her and said, that's okay. Go do what you were going to do. Take your sticks, make a fire, but before you make a meal for this little piece of bread, it's not much of a meal, before you do this for you and your son, make me a little cake first. make me a little cake first. Then you can make one for you and your son. You know, it had to go around in her mind, if I make you a little cake, guess what? There's none left for me and my son. Now, I understand this lady, because when I first read this story, she's a widow woman at Zarephath. Typically, a widow, when we think of widow women, we don't think of young ladies. I think of older ladies that have probably had a lifetime and their husbands have passed away, and they're in their late 60s, maybe 70s or 80s, and they're widow ladies because their husbands have passed away. But this wasn't an old lady. This wasn't an older lady. This widow woman had a son, a young son. And so the amazing part to me about this story is, if Elijah was just asking for her, instead of you eating the bread, will you make me a bread and bring it to me? I could see her saying, you know what? I'm an older lady. It doesn't matter. I'm going to die soon of starvation. If I can help out a man of God, if I can help you out and you could live a little bit longer, I'll give it for you. I could understand that. But she had a son to think about. When he asked her to go home, make your fire, take bread, take that morsel of meal, and that little bit of oil, make me a loaf of bread, a little loaf. You bring it to me with water. I don't know what went through her mind. It had to cross her mind, if I do this, my son's going to die just that much sooner, and I'm not going to have him around if I give to the man of God. If I give to this man. But Elijah didn't conclude his statement. He said, go fetch me something. And he said, for thus saith the Lord God, fear not to do it. Do as thou said, make me a little cake first and bring it unto me, and then go back and make one for you and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, this barrel of meal that you have shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil faint or fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The Bible says she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. What faith this lady had. What a predicament that Elijah put her in. But this wasn't him putting her in a bad position. It was to test her faith. It was to show her faith. It was to show that God could use this woman and that she was a giving person. And so that's exactly what she did. By faith, she listened to the word of the man of God, the word of Elijah, and went over and she made a fire, took her meal and oil, that was there, and made a bread for him, grabbed a little bit of water in a vessel and took it back to Elijah and fed him. And then she went back to make a meal for her and her son. It had to cross her mind. I've used it all up. But when she went back there, guess what? There was still a handful of meal. And she took that handful of meal and there was still a little bit of oil left. And she made a loaf for her son. And then she took a little more of that meal. And a little bit more of that oil and made her. Matter of fact, they did that probably 3 times a day for the next 2 years. What an amazing story. And I believe as I went through this story time and time again, I believe the barrel of meal only had a handful in it every time. The cruse of oil only had a little bit of oil in it. So every time she came back by faith, she would remind herself of the goodness of God and the greatness of her God that she serves. When I read this story in the Old Testament, it made me think of mothers. Now, I'm not saying every mother fits this description, but I've known so many mothers that put their others first before themselves. I know there's so many mothers out there that would make sure their children ate before they ate if it came down to that. The mothers would sacrifice for their children. They would go without maybe some nice clothes or a nicer car or a nicer this or nicer that. So they could provide for their family. I remember when I was a little boy, I loved football, even back then, rocket football. And I'll tell you how long ago this, Frank Morgan had his shop there right downtown. And you older people, you'll remember Morgan's sports shop. There were a pair of socks in there that would put on, and then you put your cleats on it, and it would come all the way up to the football pants, and they were the coolest socks ever. And I remember this. My mom won't remember this story probably. But I conned her into getting those socks. I told her I had to have them if I was going to be a superstar. And one day play for the Miami Dolphins was my goal and make $10,000. I'm going to have those socks. And guess what? She bought me those socks. My sister, she came in and just reamed the tar out of me. She said, "You don't understand, do you?" I said, "No, I just wanted the socks." She said, "You don't know what Mom had to give up to spend that money on those socks for you." That's the first time in my heart. That's a mother. That's a mother that fits this description. When Elijah said, "Fetch me, please, a little water in a vessel. And before you make some meal for your son, and I know you only have a little bit, but make it for me first. And bring it back to me. And take care of me. And God will supply." And she obeyed the man of God, and she did exactly. And for the next 2 years, God provided for her amazingly. That's what made me think of mothers. But now take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 6. Just one verse, verse 38. The Bible says in verse 38 of Luke chapter 6, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." This message isn't designed for mothers. I thought of this message because of the example of some of the mothers in this church. But it's a principle that's gathered for all of us. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's the principle that Jesus in this passage is trying to teach his disciples. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Jesus taught this powerful truth because he had been battling the Pharisees, and you know this as we went through, those of you who've been in Sunday school. He said the greater than the Ten Commandments or anything, or to the keeping of laws, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If you do these, all the law hinges upon this thing. But he said one of the proofs, he taught his disciples, one of the proofs that you love the Lord thy God, because many people say, "Oh, Pastor, I love the Lord thy God. I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might." But one of the proofs that you do is you have a giving heart. Generosity is probably the biggest shower, the biggest proof that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're stingy with what you have, I'm just not talking about your money, with your time and helping others and doing things for others and putting others before yourself. When you become stingy like that, folks, you do not love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's not me telling you that. That's what the Bible says. And so he's trying to teach the disciples, you need to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind. But he said, one of the proofs is that you'll be generous with others. So he said, give. That's the principle he's teaching his disciples here. Give, and it shall be given unto you. I can think of no better givers than mothers. They give so much to others, making sure they're taken care of first. The Bible says when you give, give, and it shall be given unto you. That's the principle. Your blessings will come back to you with good measure. He describes it, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is simply a picture of pouring out grain and going to the market to get grain and getting taking a basket and filling it up with the grain that you want. And that's the picture here. So I want to look at this real quickly, because if you learn to give, God says it will be given unto you, and this is how it will be given unto you. Like I said, out of all the groups of men and of women and children and teenagers, the one who probably fit this bill the most are mothers. And I thank God for mothers. And many mothers have sacrificed all along for their children. They've sacrificed things that they could have. But do not despair. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. And here's how it'll be given unto you: with good measure. That word good measure comes from the Greek word kalos, which means honorable or surpassing. It's going to surpass what God gives you back, will surpass what you gave to somebody else. That's what God said. Give, and it shall be given unto you. With good measure. He said, press down. As grapes are pressed to retrieve all the juices that can be extracted. And if you were in Jesus' day, this would make sense to you, more sense to you. God says your blessings will be compacted with absolutely no waste. As much as possible will be given back to you. Give, and it shall be given unto you with good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It'll be shaken to the point where it makes room for more. I found this in a commentary as I was, they have a specific way that people in Israel's day, in Jesus' day, in this time would go to market. And obviously they didn't have refrigerators and different things like this, so you had your open markets. And they would go to the markets to buy grain. And this is how they would do it. For the measuring of corn, they would take a vessel that was had a certain amount. They knew how much it is, how much would fit into that, and that's what they would fill that up and pay for that much. But when they took it to the garden or to the market, they would carry it out according to this pattern. The seller would crouch on the ground with the measure or the vessel between his legs, and first of all, he would fill the measure or that vessel 3/4 full. And he would give it a good shake with a rotating motion to make the grain settle down within it. This is how they did it. Then he would fill that vessel to the top, and he would give it another shake. Next, he would take the corn together strongly with both hands and press them down. He would press down with his hands to create more space. And then he would heap the rest of the wheat or the grain on top in a cone shape, and he would tap it carefully so the grain would begin to fill in. Then he would even bore holes into it with a stick or something, and then he would pour it in and pour even more grain into this. This way, when it was done, the purchaser was guaranteed an absolute full measure. What he was paying for, that he got. That's the story here that Jesus is teaching, and his disciples understood that. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Matter of fact, he says that running over, that you even in to the point where your measure, when the measure is full, your vessel is full, the market guy is going to show grace to you, and it's going to be running over, and men shall give unto your bosom. The idea behind that is that in that day, men wore robes or long or wide, loose garments. And when they could not carry things in their hands, they would fold it up just as a woman would do with her apron, and they would put some extra grain right in that robe or that loose garment as they folded it up. And God said, this is what I want to teach you, men. Give, and it shall be given unto you. It's going to be in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. What a powerful truth. For what we give to others will determine what we will receive in return. You've heard me use this illustration before, but some of you haven't. Let me use it once again. This stuck out in my mind. An evangelist came to a church that I was at, and he preached a message, and he was a powerful preacher. And he gave this illustration, and this had to be almost 20 years ago, folks, and I still remember this illustration like it was yesterday. It helped change my life, my thinking. He said, I went with a pastor to visit an older man, a gentleman, in a nursing home. He said, we went in to visit, and all the man did was complain about the nursing home. And some of you have heard that. They're not the nicest of place. You don't get the attention. But what he complained about the most was, he said, nobody ever came to visit him. Not family, not church, nobody. Nobody came. And he just went on and on that nobody came to visit him. He said, well, I was an evangelist. I was going to leave town. I can be very frank and honest with people. And so he said, I turned to the gentleman and I said this, can I ask you a question, sir? When you were younger, as a young man, and you were getting older, how many people did you visit in the nursing home? How many older people did you take a meal to? How many older people did you go out of your way to help? The man thought for a minute. He said, I never have. Listen, folks, give, and it shall be given unto you. It changed my mind. Earlier than they probably want, but my daughter's going to put me in a nursing home one day. She's already talking in the next year. But you know what? When I go, I want somebody to visit me. So you know what I've done? I visit every person I can visit to be a blessing to them. I love working with older people. Because right now I don't need a lot of help. But there's going to come a day when I do. Jesus said to the disciples, give, and it shall be given unto you. He said, it's with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men shall give into your bosom. And then he said, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Listen, folks, I tell you this almost every week. You cannot outgive God. There's a verse that says, you have not because you ask not. But I think more applicable, you have not because you give not. Listen, you can't outgive God, folks. This church has been very gracious in their giving to Faith Baptist Church for us to accomplish what we want. But I'm telling you, folks, when you give money back to God, it's just an investment into your own life. When you use your gifting and talent for the glory of God and you put others first, it's just an investment you make with the Lord. And the Lord's return is beyond anything you can get from any market here on this earth. Give, and it shall be given unto you. For the same measure that ye meet withal, you give withal, it shall be measured to you again. And it may not come immediately. It may come when you grow older. It may even come when you get to heaven in the glories of heaven. But I'm telling you, it's going to come. Give, and it shall be given unto you. As Christians, mothers have set an example in this area. To me, mothers are the most giving people that I know. And so today, I thank mothers for that example. I thank my mother for her example. I remember when my Aunt Judy had pancreas cancer. I remember when she was going to die. Just before she died, Grandma Noble came to me. And she said, Brian, and tears were streaming down her face. She said, it's just not fair. She said, it's not fair that my daughter dies before me. Why didn't God give me the cancer? Why didn't God choose to take me home first? I got a glimpse of a true mother. Give. Thank you, mothers. but for all of us, give and it shall be given unto you. I can't explain how it's going to come back to you. I don't explain, but the Bible says it's going to be with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and even running over, so you have to fold up your shirt and put it in your bosom there. Because with the same measure ye give it without, withal, it will be measured to you again. I liked what Solomon said, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, it says, cast thy bread upon many waters. That's what it's saying. Take your bread and cast it upon many waters. You say, but if you put bread in waters, it's just going to dissolve and sink. That's not what he's talking about here. He's saying, cast your bread, things that you have, things that are important to you, things that your abilities you have, cast them upon many waters. Just don't find one area. Just moms, just don't help your children because and that's a wonderful thing to do. But moms, they help more than your children. Help older people. Help other people. Help somebody with a need. Help somebody that needs something from you. Cast your bread upon many waters. Don't just not with your family. Reach out to a lost and dying world. Reach out to a people who have needs. He said, cast thy bread upon many waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Boy, you can't outgive God, folks. Give, and it shall be given unto you. The same measure you give it, it'll be measured to you again. And when it comes to giving, realize that when you give to the Lord and to others, not just money, time and your abilities and some of the gifting that God has given to you, and you put others before yourself, when you invest that with the Lord, your return is awesome in what he'll give to you and one day what he will give to you in heaven. I liked what David did. Well, I don't like what he did, but I loved how he went before God with a broken heart. But do you remember when David in the Old Testament, again, he numbered the people? That was just an area of pride, and God begged him. Even Joab of that day, Joab had his faults, but he went to David and said, don't number the people, David. God has commanded us not to number the people. God gives us the victory. God fights our battles for us. David in his pride said, no, I want to find out how many soldiers. I want to find out how big my army, how powerful I am. And he numbered the people, and God said, you've disobeyed me. He gave him three choices, and he took the pestilence that would fall upon them because he wanted to fall into the hands of a loving God. And God sent his death angel amongst Israel, and 70,000, right off the top, 70,000 men died. David went to the threshing floor of Araunah. He knew he had sinned. He told him, he said, I have sinned against the holy God, and what I did was wrong. And I'm the one who should be dying, not the people. I deserve to die, not the people. He said, I need to offer. I'm come to your threshing floor. This is where God has led me to. And I need to offer a sacrifice. And I need some wood. And I need an animal to offer. And Araunah said, hey, anything I have is yours. There's some cattle. Take them. They're out plowing the field. Take the yoke off them and break that, and there's the wood, and offer them as a sacrifice to God. But David said, no. I can't. You can't give it to me. I have to pay it. And David said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer a burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David said, I've got to pay a price for it. I'm telling you, sometimes giving costs you something. But here's the truth. Give, and it shall be given unto you. With good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give of your bosom, for the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Many of us folks are like the Dead Sea. If you've ever been to the Dead Sea in Israel, people have. It's so full of salt. It's so full of salt and different things that if you go in to swim in the Dead Sea, if you ever want to go a place to swim where you cannot drown, go to the Dead Sea. I've talked to many people who went in, and now it's very, very salty water, but they went in and they could not, they're so buoyant, they could not go under the water. Why is that? Well, for many centuries, the River Jordan has brought pouring fresh water down into the Dead Sea, but the problem is with the Dead Sea, there is no outlet. It's been taking it in, but never giving it out. Give. You know, this lady, woman of Zarephath, was ready to make her last meal, and her son were going to die. But by faith, she gave unto the man of God. And God blessed her in a mighty way. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Let me conclude with this story. To me, it's a little bit of a humorous story, but it has a wonderful truth to it. There was a mother that was taking her daughter to church. She was trying to teach her the principle of giving. And so on the car, she turned around to her daughter and said, here's a dollar and here's a quarter. You can keep one, but I want you to put the other one in the offering plate. She had a dollar bill and a quarter. Mom was testing her, trying to see what she would do and how she would respond. So they went through the service and everything. The little girl wasn't with the mother. She was in junior church or whatever took place. And so they got in the car on the way home, and mother was dying to know. So she turned around to the little girl and said, I just want to know, what did you decide to put in the offering? She said, well, the whole time I had this, in my mind, I was going to give the dollar and keep the quarter. But she said the pastor said something. He said, when you give, give with a cheerful heart. And it was more cheerful for me to give the quarter and keep the dollar, so I put the quarter in and kept the dollar. But you know what? That's a lot of us. We do what's best for us. But that's not what Jesus taught the disciples. That's not what mothers through these years in my life and watching some of the mothers here, I've watched as you give. If you're that mother that gives and gives and gives, know this truth, give, and it shall be given unto you. Cast your bread upon many waters, and it will come back to you after many days. But it's going to come with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and men shall give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it will be measured to you again. That woman at Zarephath found out that she could not give God. And I think you'll find out the same truth if you apply this principle to your life. Give, and it shall be given unto you.